Hey guys, how you doing? Back for another episode of Let's Dig In, our podcast featuring some amazing people and stories from our wonderful travels around the world and throughout the United States. And this week we had an opportunity to talk with a very close friend of mine, Vicky Krinsky, who was also a co-host along with Yvette Rios on the show Recipe Rehab. As you guys recalled, we did that just a few short years ago. And we talked with Vicky about her launching of a new energy bar, behind the scenes, what it was like to be chef to the stars, specifically Seth MacFarlane, where she was the private chef for him. And I know right now with this whole pandemic situation, many of you out there are seeking new opportunities because maybe you may have been laid off from your restaurant or your hotel. Well, now's a good time to be rethinking what the future looks like. And I think you can gain a lot of insight as to the direction that Vicky took. Many of you have asked about what does it take? How do you get into being a private chef? What's that world like? And then, of course, also the exciting news of her launching a product, her first product, the energy bar that we talked about. So anyway, enjoy the episode. Let's dig in. Vicky Krinsky. Hey everybody, how you doing? We're back for another episode here with our podcast. As if we didn't have enough things to do, we decided we were going to do a podcast. And for me, since we haven't been able to have our classes over the last several months, the last couple of months, I still love staying in touch with people. And ironically, though we love trying to teach, I really learn so much from just spending time with other people. And I always try to be like a sponge, and these podcasts have kind of been a catalyst to be able to do that. So we've got another great guest this week. I'll go ahead and introduce our co-host for today. Of course, you know, myself and Christopher, you recognize him as well. We have Christopher Ryloff, who is our corporate chef. He's based in Miami. And we also have, as a special guest this week, who kind of chimed in last minute. We reached out to him. We lost Dustin as our other co-host. Jerry Ford is a fellow CMC, one of the younger, maybe the youngest CMCs?
Currently, yeah.
Okay, all right. So that'll be tough to beat, I would say. But Jerry, thank you for joining us. And of course, reunited, you all recognize her, I'm sure, from the show Recipe Rehab and all the other things that that she's done. But I met Vicky Krinsky years ago on the set of Recipe Rehab, and we've remained great friends since. She's an awesome person, incredibly talented chef in her own right, but we reached out to her. I was curious as to how this whole crazy pandemic was impacting her, but I also have had many of you out there asking about, hey, Rich, I'm thinking about going down the route of this or that. Many of you have mentioned about a private chef, and I thought that who better is an expert on this subject matter than Vicky. So Vicky, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. What a group of people I get to be with right now.
Well, we're just thrilled to be able to spend some time with you, and I know that it's taken a global pandemic for us to carve out some time to be able to do this. But it's nice to see you, and why don't you tell us, if you don't mind, just like over these last couple of months, what were you doing kind of pre-pandemic, and how has this kind of whole crazy ordeal, has it changed the trajectory of like what you were doing pre-pandemic versus like where you are today?
So just prior to the pandemic, I was gearing up to launch my vitamin energy bar line. And, you know, I had planned to do it at the beginning of January, kind of, you know, jump into the new year with something really amazing and exciting. And I unfortunately had a little bit of family stuff go on, so I had to postpone that January launch. And so what I did was I found myself gearing up for a spring launch, thinking the spring launch would be phenomenal. The color palette of the bars, the whole concept of an energizing bar felt really great for spring. So I was super stoked and kind of grateful in a weird way that timing should have had it that I needed to postpone the new year. And then this little tiny thing called the COVID-19 pandemic happened. And that just threw me for a loop, as it did, you know, millions and millions of people. And I had to postpone my April launch, which, you know, like anybody out there knows, it is so much work to launch a product. And I'm doing it solo. I don't have a team. I've been doing it for about 2 years, but I would say, you know, a solid 10 months. This is all I've been working on. So I had geared up to do a launch here in LA at Century City Mall for their big wellness event. And that, of course, was canceled. So back at shuffling I went, and I've now shifted over to a July launch. Hopefully that happens, but I'm doing it all through digital media. And what was supposed to be something that was going to be in hotels and private aviation and luxury gyms is now going to be on my Instagram and my live website, which is nearly as exciting.
Well, so Vicky, I remember last time that I saw you, we were actually doing an event in New York for Mila, and you brought some of the bars in, which I thought were awesome, and we were kind of tasting some different flavor profiles. I think that, like, right now with this whole pandemic situation, there's so many like cooks that are out there, entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, people that are kind of rethinking maybe what their next path may be. And I feel like, you know, you kind of bring to the table kind of insight, both from the private chef perspective, but also now kind of launching something from the very beginning. What advice would you give somebody if they're thinking about maybe kind of diving into, oh, I want to launch my own spice line, or I want to do an energy drink? Like, what have you kind of learned in this process that, I mean, it's crazy, you know, how much time and resources it takes, but like, what would you offer to somebody that was kind of just thinking about getting started right now?
Sure. You know, I don't know if I'll tell you my perspective. I'm self-taught in every way. And while I am so unbelievably, taken back, and I admire you guys who have studied your way into being such a small percentage of the world as a master chef, I am your complete opposite. I believe that when you have something that you are unbelievably passionate about and you have a drive to succeed, like, the only thing that you have to do is persevere. Like, it sounds a little corny, but like, my advice is, if you have something that you eat, sleep, drink, and think about, and you foresee the world wanting to be a part of that, like, all you have to do, in my opinion, is be prepared. So read a lot. I researched a lot. I spoke to everybody that would possibly talk to me so that I could absorb, just like you, Rich. I love to learn from other people. We can't make all the mistakes in one lifetime, so we have to look to others and see, you know, where they went wrong or where they succeeded, and piggyback off of those. I think the most important thing in this type of situation, when you're creating a product of any sort, is to surround yourself with trustworthy, intelligent, ambitious people. And it's contagious. So my advice would be, one, you know, write out a business plan. That would be a tip-top organizational skills when you're about to launch a product is absolutely vital, right? I mean, you know that firsthand.
I was going to say, don't you think now too, just with, look at the momentum that some of these brands like Impossible Foods, and, you know, regardless of how you feel about some of the retail products that are out there, I feel like eating healthy and a wellness lifestyle is probably more relevant now than, well, any time that I can remember. So, I mean, I feel like the bars are definitely something that, you know, it has a place more in day-to-day lifestyle for people, probably more so now than any time I can remember.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing nutrition and fitness and competitive sports, and all of that has been a for my entire life, but I've been a private chef for 15 years, and I came in at it as a nutritionist private chef. That was my in, because there was nobody doing that. Everybody was restaurant chefs, which, you know, use a lot of butter and salt and fat and all the things that taste amazing. And I came in and I was like, butter, use olive oil. No, I mean, I'm pureeing spinach and cake. Like I hide spinach everywhere in everything I cook. But no, I mean, it is, we have a landscape now where I think we were forced to refocus our habits and really look at our immune system and go, okay, where can we increase this and decrease that and really take note of our nutrition.
So let me ask you this, and guys, please feel free to chime in here with any questions. With the bars, one of the things that when we were up there talking in New York, you mentioned that they had some properties to them where, I mean, I feel like there's things that are energy bars and they kind of get thrown into this big category and it's like, oh yeah, it's just like a, you know, granola or trail mix kind of thing. Like, I feel like there were properties that you were kind of sharing that these were like real legitimate energy boosting qualities and stuff like that. Like, what's different from this versus, you know, any of the other stuff that's out there?
Well, thank you, Richard. I'm so happy you asked.
And I remember that too, right? I remember it.
Yeah. It was a great memory. And yeah, the entire concept was created when my client Seth MacFarlane was getting B12 shots and getting vitamin boosters and at the same time drinking loads of coffee, and you know, his caffeine level got a little too high. So as his private chef, I had to talk to several doctors, talk to several, you know, health and wellness experts, and try to figure out, you know, how can we decrease his caffeine but, you know, continue his energy levels in a healthy way. And that was the R&D, was like a solid year of taste testing and formulating and heating up products and then not heating products and, you know, working with R&D teams initially to try to get this formula. And the end formula is based on a B12 shot.
Wow.
You know, yeah. And it's fantastic because, you know, when I talk about passion, I cannot believe how many people don't understand or aren't educated on sugar and what real energy means. We have an oversaturated market of energy bars, but if you look at the ingredients, you're getting energy from sugar.
Sugar.
That's And I don't have that. My whole bar, the whole concept of it is it's a sweet and savory bar. It's definitely not sweet. It's not your normal cookies and cream bar. My flavors and my combinations on ingredients are very unique and different because I wanted the vitamins to shine. I didn't want the sweetness to take over like every other bar on the market.
Right. Have you seen the, there's a Netflix show that's out there right now, and you know, I don't know, maybe it's controversial, but basically, it basically challenges the whole premise of a meat-based diet, and basically talking about some of the most successful athletes in the world are actually eating more plant-based items for their diet.
Yeah, you're talking about Game Changers.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Well, I got to tell you, I was kind of reluctant or skeptical, I guess I would say, watching it, but it was really fascinating. But I guess what it kind of gets to is what you're talking about is that the properties of some of these ingredients are, there's so much more beneath the surface than like what people think that they're eating, that they really do. They can, there's ways to kind of boost your energy or to boost your immune system or to build muscle versus kind of just following the old protocol or the old, you know, the old diets or folklore, like, oh, you know, you know, you'll eat this, or, you know, meat builds all this muscle. And that's really not necessarily the case. And even just ways to kind of even boost your energy, there's a lot, there really is a science to it.
Oh, absolutely. And this is, you know, this is the whole beauty of what, you know, for me, what I'm doing is I get to now talk to a lot of people from a different angle and say, you know, when people say, why is this bar different? It is all to do with the ingredients. And when you start educating people on what, like if you've ever had a B12 shot, or you take a B12 supplement and then you stop taking it, you will 100% notice the difference. We need B12 in our bodies. And what's so interesting is a lot of people think you get it from meat products because of the cows. But
right.
the real thing behind B12 is that it's actually a bacteria that the animals end up eating, and that bacteria is made in their stomach lining. So when we eat meat products or animal products, it's like a byproduct of B12.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So vegans,
I had no idea. Vegans just don't ever get B12. Vegans, people that don't eat a lot of animal products. And to be really honest, and just like Game Changers, the documentary Voice, which I've always known because I've had a competitive athletic background, everyone needs more B12. It's a water-soluble vitamin, which means it flushes out of our system. It doesn't stay in our system. So because of that, you kind of always need to replenish. And that's what's so important, is that when people start eating more B12 supplements or foods higher in B12, you don't have a crash. You are just sort of sustaining an energy level. I like to call it an alertness. You start to feel more alert.
So is there a limit to like how much you can take, where, I mean, obviously, you know, everything there's, you can, you know, too much of anything could be not a good thing, but is there kind of a tipping point where it's like you've gone too much of it?
Not really. And I have to be careful because I don't, you know, claiming things is very important to say that this is my understanding. I've talked to several doctors. I've definitely done my research. Most people get, you want to try to get, you know, 2.4 mcgs, which, what does that really mean in life? It means that you want to have a little bit of animal products in your system, you know, every day throughout the week.
Right.
But we don't usually get that. So my bar, I decided to do 1,000% of your daily vitamin intake. So I went extreme with it. And that's okay, because you're going to flush it out. You're very rarely going to feel like you've had too much B12, but you will absolutely, if you ever get your B12 tested, your blood tested, and you're deficient and you're tired and you don't feel great and like your nervous system is a little bit off, like that has a lot to do with the B complex vitamins. So you can't go overboard, to answer your question.
Right.
You know, of course, within limit.
Right. So kind of redirecting now, I mean, I just find the whole energy bar conversation just fascinating. And to me, I probably wouldn't, but after talking with you whenever we were in New York, and I did want to kind of just call that out, that there was way more into this than just, I think people think like, oh yeah, it's probably, you know, it's like a trail mix or some kind of a granola bar. It's like, no, there's literally a lot of research that went into making this. And that really kind of stuck with me in that conversation about the B12 particularly. Well, I thought was just absolutely fascinating.
Vicky, just to add a little bit more about that, to talk a little bit more before we change the subject. So you said that you're thinking to launch it kind of like online launch on July, around July. So when is going to be the first time, even, I mean, if it's before that time, to like for people to see the product, pictures of the product, or like the nutrition facts and everything? Do you think that it's going to be, we're going to be able to show the people what is going to be in the bar, how the bar is going to look and everything? I think that that's going to be really interesting for everyone that is listening right now, the podcast. It's going to be really nice to see pictures and everything about it.
The packaging.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Well, first, Rich, thank you. Thank you for that. And yeah, and Chris, I am actually right now this entire week, I'm doing all my marketing. So I have everything. You guys, it would be an absolute pleasure for you to post this and for your audience to see this product. It will do, I am doing a pre-sale. You know, as most people out there can be understanding, it my manufacturer has closed down. So,
right.
You know, my production run, I pushed my production run until it was safe for everybody to go back to work. So my hope and what I'm hearing is that these bars will be in my hands mid-June, but my intention is to come out with it just around that time so that people can start to pre-order the bar. So you guys will have, it would be an absolute pleasure to give you all of those marketing materials and the website and the Instagram and all
Definitely.
Of that once we're done with it. And we can sort of time it, and I'll let you guys know when things get a little bit closer once my manufacturer
I want to get it. I want to buy a case of them because I drink way much too much damn coffee, and I think it'll be good to get some of these in my diet. Would be great.
Where's going to be the best place for people to, whenever you launch it, for people to buy it from? Your own website, or you're going to have different distributors, or like where's going to be the best place to get it from?
Yeah, so my website is going to be the best. I'm actually working with, and potentially, but I'm not solidified on this. I'm potentially going to be selling them on Amazon, which awesome. To circle back to sort of the pandemic, I was never going to do that. That was never going to be part of my plan for a plethora of reasons. But, you know, convenience and safety and all of the ways in which we are now living our lives, I have started to be a little bit more receptive to what that platform looks like for me. So there is a potential Amazon link that will be available to customers, but ultimately right now my hope and my dream is that people just get, you know, directed to the website. They can everybody's gonna get a promotional first purchase will be a huge discount off. And then just word of mouth, you know, you buy your second box and there'll be a subscription. Because I find that subscriptions are really, really beneficial to the customer. I subscribe to a lot of things. You get, you know, it's obviously there's a discounted rate, and also it's just that you don't have to think about it. Every few weeks you get something that you've ordered and you don't have to go back and like remind yourself to pre-order, you know?
Like, can people go directly to your website and buy the bars directly from the site? You're talking about using Amazon.
Yeah.
But the only reason I mention this is because there really are a lot of people out there that I feel like what you're doing is really inspiring, especially right now, because there's a lot of people that are like, man, they just got this big question, like, now what? You know, I got laid off. And I've always had this one project or this product that I always wanted to kind of get out there. And you've been hustling for the last 2 years, doing all the groundwork to get the product. But now, like, distribution is a big thing. And especially you see how important it is with the pandemic, where Amazon is one of those that you can distribute from. But do you plan on having, like, where people can go directly to your website and purchase? Like, was that something that you had to put together, like a website that people could go on and place orders?
Yes. So that's exactly right. Another pivot in this whole situation. Initially, my website was going to be for wholesale,
right.
Because it's very expensive to any type of fulfillment center out there. It is a huge chunk of money to invest in a fulfillment center. However, when you can, it's the best thing you could do for yourself.
Right.
I decided, and you guys are getting me pre-launch, so I'm all happy and enthusiastic about this, but basically I'm going to do the sort of, you know, nitty gritty work where I have bars that are going to be here in my second bedroom in LA, and I am going to be shipping these little buggers out to everybody with, you know, handwritten notes and like absolute love and passion for this product, until it gets so overwhelming and I can no longer do it on my own, which is my absolute dream to have that stress. And then I will then take the bar to a fulfillment center where, you know, most companies who are in their right minds, you know, they, that's how they see through their product being distributed.
Well, we're probably pushing you to like all these things that you're saying, you're like, holy shit, now I got to actually deliver on this. And I got to be, they got to be ready on this day and that day. And sometimes it's good to kind of be pushed a little bit. I can tell you, like, the first restaurant I opened up, we were worried about whenever the construction was going to be done. So I basically announced it to all the papers, like, we were opening up on this day, and sent an invitation to the general contractor to the opening party. So he had, like, no choice but to be ready, like, on the 22nd. So it's good. It's good to be pushed.
Oh, no, awesome. It is. I mean, what that you guys are my first sort of, you are definitely my first, you know, out there with this product. I have other things lined up so that I can start doing features for when the product comes out. I mean, that's the other thing. Anybody out there that's listening to this, I mean, it's really about getting your product out. Get your product out as much as you can to as many people as you can and get feedback. And start understanding the data and get, you know, the analytics, which are super important on a digital launch. And just figure out if the world is, like, receptive to your product. And if they are, lean in on the on what they love about it. Lean in on that. And if they don't, I mean, you know, you might have to pivot. So I'm just like, I'm very eager to get people to eat this, to eat these bars. I think they're phenomenal, and I'm excited for the, you know, I'm excited for the feedback.
You know, but I got to say that part of, like, doing this podcast, this is exactly, like, what I think, that sometimes there's a lot of people out there that they think that they have to have this perfect picture of what they want to do, that before they jump into it, that they've got to have that complete picture. And I feel like having these conversations out there for the general public, it helps people because they see that, oh, that's how you do it. Like, because a lot of times people just see the finish line. They see, like, you've launched all this stuff. And really, you don't always have to have all the answers for something. I mean, you haven't done this before. And sometimes, you know, success can just run out from under you. But what you've got to do is you got to put the sweat equity in. You got to do all the hard work. And, you know, things are going to change. There's going to be disruption, but that doesn't have to disrupt your end game, which is getting these out there. And, I mean, hell, you've had this crazy pandemic, and who knows? This may end up pushing you in ways that may end up being a better model for you in the long run. So it just – I think it's really just brings a lot of value to a lot of people out there that are thinking about – man, I would love to kind of put a product out there, but I just don't know where to begin. Well, you start at the beginning.
I wish you could see my face right now. It's so sad you can't. You guys, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I never did. I still don't. And I'm so thrilled that I didn't know everything I know now. Go into something, like, my advice is, like, go in with your heart, with your passion, and with absolute dedication to see something through, and then figure it out, you know? Like, you know, it's like that saying, like, say yes and then figure it out. And that's what this can be. That I'm not saying it has to be for everybody. Some people are much more business minded or you know, have whatever, they might have a different landscape to come out with a product. But for those of you who are having to pivot out there from their regular jobs, and they've always had this great idea, like, my goodness, why else are we here? Like, this is, you know, this is it. Like, come out with what you want to do and give it a shot. At the very least, give it a shot. If this doesn't work, it doesn't work. There'll be something else that comes from it. I'm a great believer in that.
Right. And basically, be okay and expect that you're going to make mistakes. I mean, that's kind of basically part of the process. I mean, I feel like for me over the years, that's been my biggest asset, is actually just making lots of mistakes and that not discouraging from, you know, continuing to kind of push on. But I would like to kind of talk a little bit about the other kind of angle, and I'm gonna let Jerry kind of even, I want him to comment on some of this, because I know he's made a big move, actually kind of toward the end of last year. I believe Jerry was like you resigning from your position and kind of going out onto your own. I mean, it's kind of a scary time to be doing that. But I know, Vicky, you know, you for years you were the private chef for Seth MacFarlane. And I know I could tell you from being out there in Los Angeles, it was so cool. Several times you would bring me out onto the set of Ted. You get this cool little bear like running around, and there's Seth over there, you know, doing all of his directing and all this stuff. And the what was the last one that we were out at was the space movie that I'm terrible with the names of movies.
Oh, the Orville.
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable. So cool. I'm like shaking hands with aliens and stuff like that that are like 6 feet tall. I mean, just unbelievable. But I mean, for people that are out there, and then I want Jerry to kind of talk about even what was kind of his inspiration and kind of like leaving and kind of pivoting in his career. But for you, with basically being a private chef, I think there's a lot of people out there right now that were forced because of this pandemic to basically say, hey, my career is going to go on a different trajectory now. Because maybe they got, you know, laid off, or the restaurant's not going to open. For somebody that might want to go down the route of being a private chef, how the hell do you even get started? And is it something that you would even recommend?
Being a private chef can be an incredibly rewarding job. I would say that you lose a lot. It is very possible for you to lose a lot of your own lifestyle.
Right.
And when I started, I was all in it. That didn't bother me in any way, shape, or form. But being a private chef these days, I mean, look, I feel like there are so many people out there that are hiring private chefs. So there's an array of levels, so to speak, of being a private chef. So if anybody is, you know, as restaurant chefs have to sort of pivot at this point and look to do something else. I mean, there are plenty of people that are hiring private chefs right now. And the way to get into it, I think, would be like getting into anything. You reach out to everyone you know. You offer your services, you create, I mean, I don't know that a resume is necessary these days, but you create a package, a portfolio of you send that out, and, you know, and then there's also these private chef placement companies that I think are, you know, that work really well. In fact, yeah, I mean, I've looked into that for friends, and those are a great place for people to start as well, but I think it's ultimately can be a very rewarding job, but you do lose a lot of your own world.
Yeah. What mistake have you made throughout your career as a private chef that you would use as a guidance for aspiring chef?
I think being a private chef is almost 50% about your food and 50% about your energy in somebody's home. I think that's the biggest difference from a private chef and a restaurant chef, because you're in somebody's personal space all the time. And you have to be invisible and there and available all at once. So my advice would be, you know, if you're an amazing chef and you are, you know, you've done your school or you've had the experience as a restaurant chef for many years and you're really good in your field, that's phenomenal. But there's a humbling process, there's a sobering process that happens where you are, you know, you're kind of invisible and it's an ego shift. So just be prepared for that shift to take place, because I think you will succeed. You will greatly succeed if you can understand that your food and your that big personality that a lot of chefs have needs to be a little bit more toned down in somebody's personal home when they have guests over and family you know, that's a really big difference.
Right.
Vicky, you made the decision to kind of basically say, hey, I'm going to move on and I'm going to go a different direction. And I'm just curious to see if you and Jerry had any of the same motives. Like, what was the tipping point that made you decide to do that? But I'm curious to see if Jerry, and then I want to hear your thoughts on it. But Jerry, you decided to leave, which was like, you know, you had a great position and you're in, you know, what a lot of people would consider to be pinnacle of one's career. But what made you decide to kind of make that leap?
Oh, I've had an awesome career, and I too was a private chef for a short period of my life.
Really?
It's an absolute smack in the face to realize that it's not about you. So I can relate to that comment.
Oh my God! How perfect is this? I didn't realize that you guys both had some parallels there. That's interesting.
It was some years ago, and it was an amazing job, and. Once I got past it, and it wasn't a prolonged experience. Fortunately, I was young enough in my career, but you know, I'd worked at the Four Seasons at that point. I'd been part of the opening team at the Mandarin Oriental in New York City. And then I took this job as a private chef of a small, private residence in France. And it was humbling. Kind way to say humbling, but that humbleness, that those lessons that came from that have served me really well for the rest of my career, and dealing with memberships and dealing with guests and dealing with people and just kind of adapting that it's not about you.
But you know, I think though that really, even in restaurants, the reality is I feel like this whole pandemic has kind of like brought clarity to, really, at the end of the day, you're always going to be cooking for someone. And, you know, I think that for all of us, I mean, I was watching the other day a podcast with Daniel from 11 Madison Park. And, I mean, just to kind of see the look on his face of what he's gone through. I mean, you have, like, the number one restaurant in the world. And now he's basically doing, you know, thousands of meals a day for
commissary.
Yeah, right. Totally. So, I mean, maybe, you know, having a little bit of empathy and the humbleness of, you know, being okay with like whoever your guest happens to be. I guess when you're doing it in a private level like that, it's basically like, you know, you really do have to surrender. It's not like you can come in and just be like, hey, here's the menu. It's like you got to. There's more boxes to check. And, you know, you're on somebody else's schedule. I know we had a lot of people that came in that were private yacht chefs that were coming and taking some of our classes. And I was like, I didn't even realize that was even a thing. But it's really pretty fascinating. But I had no idea that you were a private chef as well for a while.
So fast forward back to where we're at. At the end of last year, I left my my job as the executive chef of a really nice private club. And, you know, I turned 40 this year, right? So I guess my thought process was, one, I've really worked hard, throughout my whole career, and I've been dogged and determined, and I've always, you know, had to be focused on something. You know, I've been very obsessive about my career for the entire time. And, you know, I had some realizations that, you know, I had to try and manifest this dream that I've had for the past few years of launching my own business. And if I didn't, I was going to regret it for the rest of my life. Right. So I figured, you know, what better way to do that than to, I didn't just kind of step into it. I dove off the cliff and I'm learning to fly on the way down. and it's been awesome. It's been amazing. In our current situation, it's been really bizarre because I think you actually said it, Vicky, was, you know, you set off intending to do one thing and then it starts heading down a different direction. You know, so I had these plans for March and for April, you know, just after I got back from Germany, and all that was gone. You know, March 15th, all of my travel that was planned was done. All of my events were done. And it really forced me to look further ahead into what I was planning to develop my business into. And so it forced me to be at home and really work on some of the media angles. And I've been working on video nonstop. I've got 45 videos to edit today in order to stay on track. And they're short little clips, but I'm working on, you know, a training module because that's, I don't know, it just feels like that's what I need to do. And so, you know, the pandemic has actually forced me to try and make the most of a situation that at first could seem pretty daunting, but it's, you know, it's allowed me to be home more in the last 2 months than I have probably over the last 3 or 4 years. And it's really made me focus on, you know, how am I going to make this business survive? And it was, you know, I had to pivot. I had to shift and, you know, try and make something work of it.
Vicky, would you say some of that stuff kind of resonates with you as far as kind of looking at, hey, it's like, you know, now or never, I'm going to do this. And, you know, if you keep procrastinating and putting it off, it's like there's almost that fear that maybe some of those goals, it's like you're not going to do them. I mean, did that have anything to do with you as far as like making a decision to move on and do what you're doing now?
I was working with my client for 10 years, just shy of a decade, and I was there 6-7 days a week. So I think there's a lot of people out there that can relate to being burnt out.
Right, right,
completely.
I wasn't feeling as enthusiastic as I generally and naturally do. And that was sort of my sign for, you know, I always believe that when you're not growing, when you're not learning anymore, it's your time to move on.
Right.
And so I think for me, that was sort of hovering over me for a definitely longer than, you know, I opened my eyes to. I think for a couple of years, I was definitely just comfortable. But no, moving on for me was really emotional and super challenging in many, many ways. And also, it put like a fire under my butt. And I was like, all right, now I gotta do this on my own. I can't live off of, you know, Seth's amazing life. He has an amazing, amazing world, amazing people around him. And I wanted to build that on my own.
Well, and you know, it's kind of crazy too, because a lot of times, like life's experiences, they end up kind of taking you down these unexpected roads. And even like when we met on the set of Recipe Rehab, we were probably the most, you know, that was probably the most unlikely combination of people, but I felt like even, but it was like, it was a great thing. It was a great chemistry. It was kind of like a yin and yang, I mean, with our backgrounds. But, and I got to tell you, I mean, there were things that I learned from you on the set. And I think, you know, we all kind of learned from each other. Yvette, who was also added a whole nother dynamic to that. But, you know, I feel like a lot of our experiences, you know, the people that you meet along the way, even if you kind of know whenever it's time to kind of turn the page and go on to another chapter, but those memories and those experiences you've had. And I know even when I came out there and spent time even getting to hang out on the set with you and Seth and everything was just so cool for me, you know, and for you to even have that experience, you'll have that under your belt for the rest of your life is just remarkable.
Absolutely. Remarkable is an exceptional and a dream. I mean, that was my dream job and I feel very lucky. I don't know, Jer, if you felt that when you were a private chef. That's why I think I said it was like hit or miss for some people. It really depends on your client, on who you end up surrounding yourself with, and what you make of it.
I absolutely love doing it, doing the work, but I missed having the team. I missed being around, you know, building on that synergy and having, you know, a team around you that was all working in a direction. You know, it was me and I had an assistant and I had a pastry chef with me. And, you know, I don't know. I felt like after it was about 2.5 years that I'd done it and the lifestyle was very cool. And I got to see and do and be amazing places and meet amazing people. I think it was just on the day to day, I wasn't satisfied with you know, with the experience daily. And it, I felt like I got stagnant very quick.
Well, I know we're getting pretty close here to wrapping up. I mean, there's so much. We could talk to you all day, Vicky, just amazing stuff. But we will kind of go around and do some closing questions. I do want to say that if you get a chance to talk to Liam Neeson again, to tell him that I would love to come out there and do a sous vide class for him or a barbecue lesson, I'd be more than happy. I'm a big fan, and I know for a while back there we were talking about a circulator for him. He was thinking about getting into sous vide or what have you. But I just said, love the Taken series, all those movies. I love him because he just kicks everybody's ass, and it was just like, it's like, oh my god! Like I was like walking around the house after that, and just loved it. But
I tell you, little Richard.
Yeah, right. Totally. But just I tell you, we really just I find, you know, my time with you has just been just such a real treasure, and I'm so glad that we've stayed in touch over the years. And doing the show with you was just, I point back, I mean, I've a lot of different things I've done in my career, but I think we both would say, we both point back to that as a real highlight of our careers and just such a great time. And I'm really glad that this friendship has blossomed out of that. And you know, we are always here on this side, that in all of your exciting adventures, anything we can ever do to help support you, we're always here, as just to echo what Chris said earlier.
I mean, I have shivers up my arm. I feel so incredibly, overwhelmingly grateful for our relationship, Rich. I mean, I don't need to go into Hallmark mode, people listening, but you know how much you mean to me and how absolutely incredibly appreciative I am of all your support throughout the years, and meeting Chris and seeing Chris every, I feel like I know Chris. I think I've met him twice. Like, he's such a warm, unbelievably talented part of your team that I just feel like I inherited him, and I'm so grateful for that. And I thank you guys for all of your support, and this was so fun. Like, I had no idea what to expect, but you guys really crushed it. I'm so happy that you keep getting yourself out in the world, because the world needs you. And just really, truly thank you for everything. I'm so excited for the next steps of all of our careers.
Thank you very much, Vicky, for all of that. And as Rich said, we have just one more question, or maybe two, that we always like to finish with a couple of like lifestyle questions. So I have one for you. I know that I told you already that I follow you on Instagram, and I always watching your videos. And usually you are playing, I don't know if you call it football or soccer. Usually you're playing it. So I would like to know which one is your favorite team. And the second question is going to be, since you are all about like healthy, like to be healthy for everyone, which one is your favorite fast food to eat?
That's good.
Which is my favorite fast food to eat? Interesting. Okay, I like these. Well, I have to tell you that I've always been a Liverpool fan, but I don't watch a lot of soccer the way I used to. So that's you know. That unfortunately I'm not as well versed as I used to be on the whole you know soccer world. But I do like to play. My favorite fast food would be, I don't know. All I can tell you guys is that I would eat almond croissants and cheese pastry all day long if it was healthy.
Amen to that. Amen.
Yeah. That's Jerry, how I feel. I really, yeah, I'd love to know what do you guys think? I'd love to ask you guys that.
You see me at the Chick-fil-A drive-through usually once a week. Of course, a lot of that has to do with my kids, that they influence that. Jerry, what about you?
She said almond croissant and my mouth started to water. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You had me at almond croissant. I don't know what else to say. I can't get over that one.
Vicky, where can everybody find you online? Your Instagram, website?
Sure. So I'm going to give you my Instagram account that I have now, because once my other Instagram account is built, I will have everybody from, kind of shuffle over. You can find me at Chef Vicky K. That's Chef V-I-K-K-I-K. That's my Instagram, and that's where I post daily. I'm always available on DMs. I love to answer people's questions. That's like genuine, and I get really excited about it. So any nutrition questions coming at me, or any questions, really.
Got it. Jerry, any other closing comments?
I really enjoyed our conversation, Vicky. It was really nice to talk to you. You know, from the outside, the chemistry that you two seem to have on Recipe Rehab was really cool, and it's obviously real. So that it's beautiful to see. I'm glad I got to be a part of it today.
Thank you, Sarah. Pleasure to talk to you as well.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. We enjoyed the conversation, and all of you be safe this weekend, and we'll join you next time for another episode. Vicky, thank you so much. Great talking with you. We love you. Take care.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Love you.
See you guys.